Today, I want to do what Jude said we should do in, now don't turn to this because I've got another place for you to turn. When he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We are instructed to earnestly contend for the faith. And Paul wrote to Titus, and he said that we ought to hold fast the faithful word as we have been taught, that we may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Do you know what a gainsayer is? A gainsayer is a disputer or a refuser of the word of God. And so we need to hold fast the word we've been taught so that we may have soundness in our doctrine, that we may be able to exhort and convince or persuade those who are gainsayers. So if you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to do precisely that on a subject that happens to be a current event. And turn in them with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 14. 1 Kings, chapter 14. The word of the Lord, in this portion of the word, a historical truth from the life of the nation of Israel. Solomon is dead. Rehoboam, his son, is reigning in his place. 1 Kings 14, beginning to read in verse 21. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose, out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And then read with me in the 15th chapter of 1 Kings, beginning in the 9th verse. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. He's following now behind Rehoboam. And his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Now I want you to contrast chapter 14, verse 24, and chapter 15, verse 12. In 14:24, we're told that in Rehoboam's reign, there were Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all of the abominations of the nations. The fact that there were Sodomites in the land is declared here in the Word of God to be an evil thing. Verse 22, Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed. And specific emphasis is placed upon this, the activity of the Sodomites. Then in the next reign, which was King Asa, verse 11 tells us that Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And one of the things he did in verse 12 is he took away the Sodomites out of the land. Now, as I read these two contrasting portions of Scripture, I see that to have Sodomites in the land is a negative thing. To have the Sodomites out of the land is a positive thing. Does your Bible indicate that? Now, that's important, then. We ought to know what are Sodomites. What then is a sodomite? That if there are sodomites in the land, it's bad. If there are no sodomites in the land, it is good. What then are sodomites? The sodomites that are referred to in this passage of Scripture, these two passages that we have read, were in that day male prostitutes. They are what we would call today homosexuals, or as it is commonly referred to, they are called gay. There's nothing gay about this, by the way. And they are called lesbians. The male homosexuals are called gay. The females are called homosexuals. They're called in the Word of God sodomites. I think that's probably a better description. And they are named sodomites because of the city which was infamous in history for this behavior. Now let's find out what the kind of behavior is so awful. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. You can read your newspaper when you get home, but let's read the Word of God today so that we understand the newspaper when we read it. It seems that in the past week, while you're turning, let me just refer you to, in the past week, it seems that all of our newscasters and all of our news jockeys and all of our news anthologies and news shows are stumbling over one another to get sodomites on the television to tell us how wonderful this experience is and how good this is for the country and how good it is for them and how we ought to accept this kind of behavior. In chapter 18 of Genesis, God is having a conversation with Abraham. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom, which is the city from which the word sodomite comes, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Now God said that a city, this city filled with this kind of behavior, that a cry came up to him from the city, and he says that their behavior, what did he call their behavior? He called it a three-letter word, called it sin. And he said the sin is very grievous. Are you listening? This is not some game that our society is playing this day. This is a very grievous activity that is going on. And if we sponsor it or accept it, we participate. It is sin, and it is very grievous. Now let's jump over to the 19th chapter, read the familiar story, but I want to read, it's a rather lengthy story, but I want to read it because it just speaks so clearly to what we need to know today. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, in the evening. And Lot, you remember Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And when Lot and Abraham separated because there was not enough pasture for their flocks, Lot went to Sodom. And he bought a house there and he was raising his family inside the city of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Lot said, why don't you come into my house and enjoy my hospitality, and then in the morning you can go on your way. But they said, no, we'll just stay in the street. We don't want to bother you. And verse 3, Lot pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, before they went to sleep that night, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, this is going to describe for you the behavior of those that practice this kind of behavior, what a sodomite is. And it also tells you something behind the character of those who bear this sodomite spirit And it will help you to understand what's going on in our country today. And so they compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, all of these men gathered around Lot's house. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, they didn't want to just meet them and get acquainted and have social activity with them and conversation. For this word know is the same word that is contained in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, verse 1, where it says, And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare a son, and they called his name Cain. Now, the kind of knowing that they wanted of these men was they wanted carnal knowledge. They wanted sexual knowledge. And we'll see in just a moment how the context bears that out. Now, here are men. This is the condition of those who are bound by this behavior and bound by this spirit. They're not satisfied with what they have. They want to recruit more, 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 more. You see, they do not reproduce themselves, so they must recruit. And here come two good-looking young fellows, strangers into town. The word went all through the city. And before they could eat their meal and go to sleep that night, the house was surrounded by these vile and wicked men who wanted to take these two angelic men against their will and have sexual knowledge of them. Sick. Sick. Demonic. From hell's pit. And Lot went out at the door now unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now here's a righteous man in the middle of a wicked city, and he knew that this was wickedness. He's exhorting them, please don't do this. This is wrong. It's wicked. Behold now, this is how, if you live in the middle of this kind of a city, in the middle of this kind of grievous sin, how it can corrupt your thinking. I want you to think about our nation today as we're talking about this subject and how the sodomite corrupts the thinking of the righteous. Behold now, Lot said, I have two daughters which have not known man. I have two virgin girls. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they, the men, said, Stand back, Lot. And they said again, this is the men in the street. This one fellow, Lot, came into sojourn, and now he needs to be a judge. He's judging our behavior. We just want to be left alone, they said. Who are you, Lot, to tell us what's wicked and what isn't? Just leave us alone. And what are we going to do if you leave us alone? We're going to break into your house and we're going to rape your guests. That's what happens when you leave sodomites alone. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man Lot, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth... Do you see what's going on in our land in this story? But the men put forth their hand, that is the angels, reached out from the house, and they pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. But did that stop them? No, they wearied themselves to find the door. In their blindness, they are driven by this demonic sickness, by this demonic lust. They are driven, driven, driven. You cannot reason with a sodomite. It is an unreasonable behavior, and it is an unreasonable spirit that drives them. Now, they can be delivered. Hallelujah. but they cannot be reasoned with. Reason does not work. And the men said unto Lot, that's the end of that event. The angel said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, sons, daughters, whatsoever thou hast in this city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Why was God going to destroy this whole city? Because of the Sodomites and their behavior in it. And Lot went out, spake to his sons-in-law, which had married his daughters, and said, now apparently his sons-in-law were not Sodomites by sexual persuasion. They were married men, but they were influenced by the corruptness in that city. Lot said, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, and take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. I'll jump over to verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. That's the city that Lot fled to. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. That is, man, animal, plant, everything was destroyed. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Now the great tragedy is that when God dealt with Sodom, he did not, and while he finished Sodom, he did not finish Sodomy, and he did not finish the Sodomites, for there are Sodomites in our blessed land as well. When America was a Christian nation, the Sodomites, we had them then, but the Sodomites did their sodomy in secret. Christians were salt and light and had so influenced the nature of things and the culture to such an extent that to be a Sodomite was unusual and it was something to be ashamed of. Sodomite behavior was against the civil law as well as the law of God. But now the Sodomite is abroad in the land and he seeks not only to do his filthy practice, but he seeks legitimacy and acceptance and special privilege, and he seeks the blessing of the culture upon his wickedness. Why does he seek the blessing of the culture upon his wickedness? Because it soothes his inner man, which knows he is doing wickedly. Are you listening? A man's own conscience will speak to him. All this weekend we're having a march on Washington by the Sodomites in the land. I remember April of 1980 when there was a march on Washington by the Christians. I don't remember up until the time of the march a word in the national secular media about that march. After the march had occurred, there was a small little article on page 90, you know, about it. However, this week, if you've been reading the newspaper, if you've been watching television, all of the people who run these television news shows, I said before, stumbling over themselves to get a couple of Sodomites to come on the air and tell everybody about this great march that is occurring in Washington and this wonderful thing that is occurring for our country. For the first time in the history of the United States, our president has had a private conference with the leadership of the so-called sodomite community in the United States. Private conference. The sodomites want us to bless their marriages so that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a man. They want to have the right to adopt and raise children in that kind of environment. They want spousal rights so that a homosexual relationship marriage where the so-called spouse, that sickens me to say the word, but the so-called spouse would have dependent insurance rights and dependent Social Security rights and all of those kinds of things. We have an entire group of people in our country who want to have a free ride on this AIDS business. They want all the rest of the nation to pay the bill for the results of this kind of wicked behavior. I grew up in an age when there was a communicable disease, those who had a communicable disease were quarantined. I can remember a young girl in the house we lived in. She lived on the second floor. Her parents had the second floor in the house that we lived in. We lived in my grandfather's house. We rented the first floor, and this family rented the second floor, and the little girl got scarlet fever. And I can remember being quarantined in that house until that had been dealt with. How would you like to go to the press or to the streets with the idea of a quarantine? Not only is that anathema, they want us to pay. It's sick. And then they want to open our borders for all of the people who are suffering from AIDS all over the world. The psychiatrist may call this behavior an inborn instinct. The schools may call it an acceptable alternate lifestyle. The liberal church may call it progress. The media may exalt its leaders as heroes. The president may call it good for America, but God's word calls it sin. It's a choice. It's like all sin. No person is born a homosexual. No person is born a sodomite. This is a choice. People choose this aberrant lifestyle. I have a problem with the word lifestyle. It's not life at all. It's not anything like life. Turn with me to the book of Romans. And let's hear God's word describe it. Now, before I go any further, let me say this. Some of the things I've said today are rather harsh, and I mean them to be harsh. But that does not mean that I hate the sodomite. I despise the fact that we have sodomites in our land, but I love the sodomite because our Jesus died for the sodomite the same as he died for this sinner. God loves the sodomite and I love the sodomite. But God hates the sodomy and I hate the sodomy. And the church needs to, at least the church can speak clearly on this issue. Romans chapter 1, beginning to read in the 18th verse. For the wrath of God, we don't hear much about the wrath of God, do we? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then jump over to the 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain, empty, foolish in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's where sodomy takes place. Is in a darkened heart. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. When you turn on your television and you get Nightline or World News Tonight or wherever this is coming into your home in whatever source, and when you see the interviewer treating this person, this sodomite, as if he was this some guru of great wisdom, I want you to understand the Word of God says that while they profess themselves to be wise, the truth is they are fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Where does this come from? The lust of their own heart. It's not like being born white or black or male or female. You don't get born heterosexual or homosexual. That is not something that happens to you through your birth. Now, there are circumstances in life that may direct you, perhaps in an alternate direction, in an opposite direction, but isn't it true that that's the way sin lures us? All types of sin. We don't have to succumb to it. Through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor. To dishonor. Their own bodies between themselves. Note the word dishonor. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Underline the word vile affections. It is a dirty affection. For a man to have a sexual affection for another man is a dirty thing. It's a vile thing. It's an unclean thing. Whether you're a 5-year-old boy or a 10-year-old boy or a 50-year-old boy. Whether you're a 5-year-old girl or a 10-year-old girl or a 50-year-old girl, it's an unclean thing to have sexual affection for a person of the same sex. Any of you who are parents, well, any of you who are past your younger years, realize that in the early years, the devil does try to get in there and he does try to involve us in experiences of that type, in experimentation and exploration and so on. And then he used those experiences to bind us into that kind of aberrant life, if he can. Vile affections. For even their women did change the, watch this now, the natural use into that which is against nature. Does that say that sodomites are born sodomites? It is against nature. It is unnatural. It is not an inborn thing. It is not a natural instinct. I have never seen sodomite dogs. I've never seen sodomite horses. I've never seen sodomites of any kind apart from the human race. Now, if it were a natural thing, you'd have sodomites in the animal kingdom, wouldn't you? It's not natural. I mean, it doesn't take a brilliant person to understand this. I mean, even my pea-sized brain can get a hold of that. Why? What has happened here? Because they have declared themselves wise, they don't realize how foolish they are. Just terribly foolish. Verse 27, likewise also the men. Listen to me. Sodomy is against the natural law of God for both men and women. A sodomite is one that has sexual knowledge, sexual relationships with a person of the same sex. Likewise also the men. Here's the wording again. Leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. Not burned in their natural instincts, but burned in the lust of their hearts, one toward another, men with men, working that which is, underline the word, unseemly. Receiving in themselves the recompense of their, underline the word, error. When you hear them on the television, it ought to go off on the inside of you, error. When they say truth, truth, your spirit ought to shout, error! Error! When they say right, 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 you ought to say wrong! Error! And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or a depraved mind to do those things which are not convenient. The word convenient would better be translated fit. It's just not fit. It's not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Whoa, do they hate God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. There's the description there of the sodomite, without natural affection. Implacable, you cannot appease these people. Unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We even have a sodomite church. It's called the Metropolitan Community Church here in Atlanta. Atlanta is a mecca for sodomites in our country. They have their own church. Their pastors tell them that it's quite very natural, quite just very natural for this to occur. Liberal Christians who are tolerant, oh, the tolerance just drips off their tongues like honey. But the tolerance is allowing these people, consigning them, as it were, to a fiery, fiery hell. When you tolerate, God does not tolerate sin in us. We should not tolerate it in ourselves, nor should we tolerate it in the lives of others. The lust of their own hearts, they dishonor their own bodies. It is a vile affection. It's against nature. It's unseemly. It's error. They have a reprobate, depraved mind, and these people are without natural affection. And unfortunately, they no longer are troubling only themselves, but they are troubling our nation. And we can no longer say, well, let's just, if they want to do that, it's a free country. Let them do whatever they want. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Chapter 2. Remember Lot? Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a man of God, but Lot made a bad choice. He moved from the plains and he went into the city of Sodom and he lived there. It affected him and it affected his family and it cost him two sons-in-law and a wife. Are you listening to me? And if you'll read the rest of the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, you'll find that it cost him also his two daughters. His daughters whored for him and got him drunk, and you'll remember all of that that occurred between Lot and his two daughters. It just corrupts everything it touches. Just corrupts everything it touches. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Reading just a bit of verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness. And then it describes further what God did. Verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, making them, listen to this, beloved, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Oh, we have got to say to the person who is bound by this kind of behavior, look at Sodom. This is an example. God loves you, but he will not permit you forever to engage in this very grievous, reprobate behavior. What he did to Sodom is an example to those that would continue to live in that same ungodly way. You cannot do that. You may go to your church and your pastor says it's okay, but it will condemn you. Verse 7, fortunately, and God be praised, but God delivered just Lot. Now this doesn't mean only Lot, it means righteous Lot. God delivered righteous Lot who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now you cannot tell me that the openness with which this kind of vile behavior is tolerated in our society will not have an effect upon our society. It does have an effect. It is having an effect. It will have an effect. And the effect is negative. Negative. Just Lot was vexed. The word vexed here comes from a Greek word that means literally to be worn down, to be oppressed, and then to be tormented. So here is righteous Lot living in the middle of a filthy city, a city where there is all of this vile, reprobate behavior, and Lot does not think anything is wrong until when two men come and he takes them into his house and he has this altercation with the men of the city. He is willing to take his two young virgin daughters and give them into a prostituted rape kind of environment in order to protect the two men. You talk about corrupted, vexed behavior, my good God Almighty. Maybe we can pray today that our president will read 2 Peter chapter 2. It is vexing our land. It is wearing down our land. And it will continue to wear down our land until we take a stand and say this is wrong. We love you. We care about you. We don't want to harm you or deny you anything that pertains to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we abhor your behavior. And we will not allow you to destroy our culture with this behavior. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their ungodly deeds. Isaiah chapter number 5. Unfortunately, this verse comes to my mind very frequently these days. You know, even the church is vexed over this. You read, this will be upcoming in the next several months. You'll be reading in the paper about the Presbyterians will be meeting somewhere and they will be debating about whether they ought to have sodomites in the pulpit or not. Then the Methodists will be meeting somewhere else and they'll be debating about whether they ought to have sodomites preaching the gospel. Then the Lutherans will be meeting and they'll be debating and they'll have this great split in the church over those that think we should and those that think we shouldn't. And then the Episcopalians will be having their great big meeting, and they'll be coming together and talking about, if the people would just open the Word of God, they wouldn't have to have any discussion on it. All they have to do is just read it. It's just as clear as the word on the end of your nose. But we have committees and commissions and conclaves and confabs, and they meet and spend all of the church's money meeting and writing these great big papers, and they bring them into the meetings, and then we discuss it, and we this and we that, and when we're all done, we get the wrong answer. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let God make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Mockingly they say these things. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Woe, woe, woe. Is there hope for our country? Yes, there is. Thank God there's hope for our country. How do we know that? Isaiah 64 and 7 says, "There's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and consumed us because of our iniquities." Isaiah cries out and says, "There's none that calleth upon thy name." And the inference there is if someone would call upon the name of the Lord, perhaps his hand could be stayed from us. We read in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, what happened just before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed when Abraham had his intercessory conversation with God. He said, Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous in the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" I believe that if we'll pray for our country, I believe we'll intercede for our country, God will preserve our land. Jeremiah said, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places, if you can find a man, if there be any that will execute judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." Ezekiel quotes God saying, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Why? Because he couldn't find anybody to stand in the gap. I believe with all my heart that if Abraham had asked God, "Will you spare for one righteous man?" See, he said, "Will you spare for 50? God said, "Yes." Abraham said, "Well, suppose I can't find 50. Suppose I find five fewer. I can only find 45. Will you still destroy for the 45? No, I'll spare for the 45 righteous." "Well, what if I can't find 45? What if I can only find 40 righteous men? Will you still destroy the city?" God said, "No, I'll spare for the 40. "Well, how about 30? "Yes, I'll spare for 30. "How about 20? "Yes, I'll spare for 20. "How about 10? God says, "Yes, if you find 10 righteous men in the city of Sodom, I will spare the entire city for the sake of the 10 righteous. But God couldn't find 10 righteous in the city. He could only find one. And so he didn't spare the city, but fortunately he took the one righteous out. And then fire and brimstone fell. I believe there is hope for our country, but I believe that the only hope this country has is the Bible-believing church. And there is hope for the Sodomite too, beloved. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. This final passage. If you know somebody who is bound by this kind of behavior, if you know somebody that is under the charm of this kind of demonic spirit, I want you to see this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. I'm sorry, it's chapter 6. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" They can be members of the church, but not of the kingdom. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor" what? Effeminate. You know what that means? "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind." You know what that means? That's the Sodomite. The Bible says that what the Sodomite is doing is abusing himself. God help them. They parade on the television. They parade these very normal, very attractive, very articulate young men and young women. This is representative of the community of the Sodomites. But they don't show the pictures of the gay parades that go down the streets of our cities. They call them gay pride. We're proud of our Sodomite behavior. We're proud of our Sodomite character. Someone has done a video just recently from some of those parades, and when I see and when I read of what these people do in the name of love, it's sick. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11. "And such were some of you." Underline the word "were." if you are a Sodomite and you're listening to this message, you can be a used-to-be Sodomite. You can be a former Sodomite. You do not have to be bound by this behavior. Jesus Christ can and will set you free if you want to be free. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified. Sodomy is no worse, as it were, than any of the other things that are mentioned here. They all keep us from the kingdom of God, and they are all covered by the blood of Jesus if we receive that washing. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Yes, there is hope for our country. Yes, there is hope for those that are bound by this horrible, horrible spirit, this vile, unnatural affection. Yes, there's hope for them. But the hope is not in legitimacy. The hope is not in acceptance. And the hope is not in special privilege. The hope is in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The hope is in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The hope is in repentance. And the hope is in forgiveness by the power of the Lord Jesus. I want you to stand to your feet, if you will, please. And the first thing I want to do today, as we bring the service to a conclusion, is I want to pray for our country today. I want to pray for the United States of America. I am concerned with the countries on the other part of the world as well, because in some parts of the world, this is even more prevalent than it is in our country. But I am particularly burdened by what is occurring this weekend, and I'm particularly burdened by what is happening in these last several months in this activity, and I'm concerned about the effect that it will have upon our country. And I want you to join with me, please, as we so pray. If you're standing next to somebody, please take a hand and let's just stand in agreement for this country. Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. We are saddened by what is happening publicly in our country. We ask you for forgiveness. We confess the sins of our nation, Lord, and we ask you to forgive our land. We ask you to cleanse our land. We ask you, our Father, to not withdraw your hand of blessing from our country. We pray concerning this march that's going on in Washington right now, and we put a hedge round about that march and around the people that are so engaged. And we say unto you, Satan, in Jesus' name, we bind your influence. We bind your power to blind. We bind the power of darkness and loose the power of light. We loose light into our Congress. We loose light into our White House. We loose light into our news media. We loose light into the lives of these homosexuals that think they're doing this wonderful thing for themselves and for the country. We bind you, Satan. We bind you, spirit of sodomy. We bind you, spirit of vile affection. We bind you, spirit of uncleanness. We bind you, spirit of unnatural affection, in Jesus' name. And we command you to loose these people and loose our nation, in Jesus' name. We just lift up these United States, Father. We pray that you would draw, first of all, the church. For you said, if my people, and then after having drawn the church, would you draw the nation? Would you draw our culture? Would you draw them one by one until we become a multi-million member throng who will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and once again be salt and light in our country and influence the culture for good? We do not want to condemn the sodomite, but we do want to condemn sodomy. We pray, our Father, that you will do all that is necessary to bring these United States back to the place where we might once again call it a Christian nation, more than in name, but a Christian nation in practice and in fact. We pray for our president today, our Father, and we pray that you will produce in him a level of conviction, that he understands that he that would rule in the affairs of men must rule justly, that he must rule in righteousness, and that it is appropriate for, it is not necessary for him to give ear to those that are working the destruction of our national fiber. In Jesus' name, Father, we intercede. for our country. We pray, Lord, that that which they are doing in Washington today, their impression is that they will impress the Congress, impress the government, that they will enforce their will upon our national leaders, that they will gain acceptance across the rank and file of our people. I pray, Lord, that that which they mean for those purposes, that you will cause to become confused and to be of none effect. In Jesus' name. That you will confound all of their wicked devices, that you will confound their plans in Jesus' name. Now we pray, our Father, today for our children. Especially, Father, we pray for our own children, those that are gathered right here in this auditorium today, those that may still be in our loins or in the loins of our children and our children's children. We ask you for your protection and your watch care over our children, that they not come under the influence of these wicked doers, that they not be drawn into this wicked experience and this unclean behavior. We ask you, Lord, to give your angels charge over our children, that if necessary, your angelic hosts should do war on their behalf in order to protect them and to keep them clean and to keep them safe. And in the same way that David subdued the bear and subdued the lion, that our children should have a strength that is beyond their age to be able to subdue the bear and the lion that may come after them. We pray, Lord, for your church, and that you will protect your church from this vexatious activity, that you'll protect our nation from this vexatious activity, that we would not be worn down, we would not be wearied by this constant pressing. We pray for those who are caught and bound by this horrible practice, bound by this demonic spirit that would cause them to be unclean and to do unnatural things and to not obey the first commandment, which is be fruitful and multiply. We ask you for deliverance for any who are so bound.